continuation of this most amazing pastime of Krishna, the Govardhan Leela, where we can learn so much for our own spiritual life. I really request you to take a moment time and really appreciate a little bit what we are trying to do each morning. We're trying to actually create an atmosphere in which Krishna will be attracted to appear. There is something which really convinced me when I read Srila Prabhupada about the need to do Krishna Katha. That means just talk about Krishna like the Acharyas have done and like it was done in the ancient Bhakti tradition. I found this quotation when I was reading the Bhagavatam, and when I read it, it convinced me that I should try to do my efforts of spreading Krishna consciousness on two frontiers, so to say. One is chanting the holy name and in a way teaching how devotees can chant with a sense of connection, a sambandha kirtan. And the other frontier where I would like to see my service is in doing Krishna Katha. Of course, there is a huge ocean waiting of another thing which we have been working on now for 10 years, and it will come out as a great surprise. You will all hear about it, I think, at the end of this year. So here is for you the quotation which so much convinced me. Even a person who is perpetually condemned to the miseries of material existence. That means even someone who by his karma really has to suffer a lot of misery. Even such a person can get relieved from bondage if he simply agrees to hear only Krishna Katha. In this age of Kali, the process of hearing Krishna Katha is the most effective means to gain release. Most effective process. Have you heard this? This is not a speculation. This is here. The age of Kali is full of sinful reactions. Do you sometimes feel this, that you're trying to engage in devotional life, but so much bad karma comes? I see our Yamunaji, our astrologer, who knows, even on the spiritual path, you cannot avoid your karma to ripen and then affect you in some ways. Isn't it, Yamuna? We can ask Yamuna. She is our expert. So, the age of Kali is full of sinful reactions, and people are more and more addicted to the qualities of this age. Even you can see sometimes devotees are just becoming in some ways intellectually affected by the current trends in modern society. This is a natural thing. And then Prabhupada says, but simply by hearing and chanting of Krishna Katha, one is sure to go back to Godhead. And then he says, therefore people should be trained to hear only Krishna Katha by all means in order to get relief from all miseries. Now you might ask, okay, training is necessary. What type of training is Prabhupada referring to? In the Bhagavatam purport, he explains that what we have to learn is to listen with rapt attention. Now, I didn't really know what is rapt attention, rapt. In Deutsch würde man wahrscheinlich sagen, gespannter Aufmerksamkeit. But it's something more. Rep means lifted up and carried away. This is a dictionary definition. When you hear with the rapt attention, you become almost like the dust of a flower who attaches itself to a powerful wind and then is lifted up and carried away. And so what you have to learn, and this is training, which by the way we also train when we do japa and kirtan, is to somehow make our mind one with the Krishna Katha and make the Krishna Katha one with our mind. Should I repeat this? This is Dhyan Chandra Goswami who trains us to make the mind one with the mantra and the mantra one with the mind. In other words, there is a mutual pervasion, eine gegenseitige Durchdringung des Geistes und des Krishna-Katas oder des Heiligen Namens und umgekehrt des Heiligen Namens oder Krishna-Katas mit dem Geist. This is a little difficult to explain. A mutual pervasion where the mind goes to the Krishna-Kata and the Krishna-Kata goes into the mind. Try to make it as simple as possible. This is a big subject which is dealt with in the contemplative traditions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So for us it is very important. We want to attach our mind to the Krishna Katha and we want to have the experience of being lifted up and carried away. So nice. Another translation of the meaning of rapt attention, we have to listen with the rapt attention, is we need to become wholly absorbed, totally absorbed. And the third definition is, I also like this, it's for the bhavuka devotees, the devotees who have bhava in the heart. You need to be transported with emotion. I mean, this is for those of us who are a little longer in the process and whose heart are very receptive to Krishna. They will be transported with emotion. So what is our duty during Krishna Katha is to perform this one service, to bring our mind to the Katha and let the Katha enter into our mind. This is what we have to try, and when it's done, when the Krishna Katha is authorized, that means according to the Bhagavatam and the powerful Acharyas. In other words, if it's transcendental sound and not mental sound, it should lift us up and carry us away. De-de-radha Madhava Kunya Bihari De Radha Madhava De Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Iri varadari. Yasoda nandana vrajajana ranjana. Yasoda nandana vrajajana ranjana. Nandana vrajajana. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Yamuna Chiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Haribo. Haribo.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hi Bo!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Gau Premanandi Hari 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 Bo.
Krishna. I suggest Ram Gopal, maybe vielleicht kannst du ganz kurz das Fenster richtig so stoßweise öffnen, weißt du, dass wir richtig, nee, so richtig so wie genau. Maybe we can just open also the window really good, but then close it also, so that, also so ungefähr 3 Minuten, nicht, dass wir hier einen Erfrierungstod heimgestellt werden. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sudhirevi Pranamami Hari Priye He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gopakavinda Vansha Kalpataru Vaisya Kripa Shindu Vaivacha Bhati Tanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we heard yesterday that this Leela Krishna wants to show two things. The first is that he wants to show his devotees that it is sufficient to take total shelter in him, and he will protect us from the reactions of this when we give up all other shelters. This is the first point Krishna wants to establish. And the second point is that he frees his devotees from false pride, like he freed Indra from false pride. And so we will continue here. Indra was sitting on his high throne, a very high throne is described, surrounded by his mistresses, the heavenly dancing girls. At that time, the spies came from Braj, and they told him, the puja this time was millions of times better than any puja done before. Indra said, "Oh good, I thought it was my puja day." The spies continued, "There was chanting and dancing of many Vedic hymns." Good, they were all meant for me, said Indra. And the spies continued, "The only problem was that this puja was not directed towards you, but to a mountain." "Who did this mischief?" said Indra. "Who polluted the minds of the simple people in Braj?" The spy said, trembling, "As a blackish boy who lives in the houses of the Brijbasis and who sometimes steals butter there." "What? Is it that? "Yes, it is him," said the spies. Now the Brijbasis say that Giriraj is the best devata. They claim that he gives them water and grass for their cows. And furthermore, they have decided that from this day on, they will only worship Giriraj, no more Indra Puja. Now when a proud person who has pride inside his heart hears something which belittles his own position, it is more painful to him than the bites of 500 scorpions at the same time. You know, a proud, poor person suffers intensely when his pride is disturbed. Indra became therefore furious with anger. He began to shiver uncontrollably so that the people there said, What's wrong? Is he ill? And he said, "Look at these gopas. They don't even have a proper home. They have a few cows in their names and they wander around in the forest, but yet they listen to this ignorant, foolish, blackish boy. The extent of their pride," says Indra, "is inconceivable. I cannot think how proud these people are. They have so little, yet their pride is so high." "We live in Amaravati, not in the forest. We have apsaras, not some village girls. We have airplanes. We have good food. We have much wealth, but we are not proud at all," said Indra. Have you ever talked to a proud person and found out that he thinks he is all right? It's called in German language
the blind fleck, the blind spot, you know. Oh, when you want to correct a proud person, be prepared for the atom bomb. And he thinks I'm humble when I throw the atom bomb. Yes, Indra had the same thing. You please study the anatomy of proud. Take your Sigi Jung knowledge, take your Sigmund Freud knowledge and your psychology, put stones on it and sink it in the ocean and listen how the Bhagavatam aptly describes this great problem, pride. It's much better. And then he says, these people have surrendered to Krishna, who's just a Matyam, an ordinary mortal being. What this means is, when he offended Krishna, saying he's just a mortal being, at that moment when he wanted to say he's just a mere human, Saraswati entered his tongue, his offensive tongue, and put it straight so that what he said in Sanskrit can be heard. Krishna is so inconceivably merciful that he appears amongst the mortal human beings to take all their misery from them. But he meant to say, he's just a Matyam. It sounds so Matyam. And you want to offend someone, why not say he's a Matyam? Then he gave an amazing example that shows how pride can cover one's intelligence. He says, by giving up my shelter and taking refuge in Krishna, these people are as foolish as people who give up a very good boat and sit on a stone in order to cross the ocean. They will sink! They will sink! And I will show them how they will sink. I will send them the Samvartaka clouds, which are used to destroy the universe after it is set ablaze in fire. I'm sending these clouds, and they will sink. They will sink by sitting on the stone of Krishna. Krishna won't protect them. So at this moment, Indra called his army. Armies, generals, come around me. Then he called, Samvartaka clouds, someone go and cut the chains of the clouds. I mean, these clouds are like monsters. Imagine you have a monster at home and you have to chain him down, you know, because he's you have to have this chain around him. If you have a monster in your home, you know, in your refrigerator or somewhere. So the Samvartaka clouds had chains all around them. They were ready to destroy. That's amazing, my dear devotees. These clouds are not like your cumulus Ethiopios clouds. You know, they are really heavy. So the clouds came, and when they arrived at Indra's court, Indra was in silence. She was boiling. She didn't say anything. So the cloud said, tell us, whom should we attack? Just speak, and it's done. You are our Lord. You give life to everyone. Why are you so angry? No one could understand what had happened. Indra said, these human beings have insulted me. The clouds and the ministers asked them, who? Where? Why? What have they done that you are so we would say in ISKCON jargon, flipped out. First they respected me, said Indra. I gave them all they have now. Now in turn, they have disrespected and rejected me. Instead, they worship a mountain and he ate all my food. Go and go and destroy them. Break Giriraj into pieces. Go with your water under him. Just lift him up from the roots. Then you kill this foolish boy. Then you kill all the people. Leave Nanda Maharaj. He should see all this, and then I will torture him personally. But the clouds, when they heard this, they were a little afraid, because they had heard how Krishna previously had killed Putana and Trinavata. You know, Trinavata had gone high up in the air, and most probably their small brothers, the ordinary cumulus Ethiopios clouds, had told. We saw Krishna was transported by the huge monster Trinavata Sura, but he just hanged out his neck and joyfully laughing looked at Braj from a good aerial view, you know. And then he became just heavy and heavier and heavier until the eyes bulged out of Trinavata's I don't want to tell you all this before your breakfast. And then he fell on a stone slab and died. So the clouds were little afraid and hesitant. They were more intelligent than Indra, because they were not blinded by pride. And Indra said, "It's all right, I see. You are weaklings. I will come with Airavata, my elephant, going behind you. I will back you up and I will see all this." I want you to look a little on the nature of pride now. Isn't it surprising that Indra becomes so enraged against Krishna? Isn't that surprising? Why didn't he become so angry with Kamsa, who had forbidden all the yagyas, including all the yagyas which customarily went to Indra? Why was he so particularly angry here? And you know, the another question we should ask is, he thinks these coward boys are small, but why is he becoming so outraged? What, you know, when a stronger faces a weaker, he remains calm. Imagine a lion gets all nervous when there is a mosquito in the room, and he starts to jump at the mosquito like he would jump at an elephant, and he would think this is disproportionate, no? My dear devotees, the problem is very deep. The main problem of Indra here was that he could not accept the devotion of the Brijvasis towards Krishna. He didn't feel good in an atmosphere of devotion. He felt angry. This is what happens to all of us when we are overwhelmed with these anattas, of which pride is one. We cannot feel good in the association of devotees. In fact, we can't tolerate it. That's why he reacted so psychologically disproportionate, so unangemessen, sagt man. Indra had 1,000 eyes on his body, but all of them were closed. Closed by pride. So that he couldn't see what was right in front of him. The highest form of love of Godhead, the love of the Brajbasis for Krishna, the most worshipable form of devotion. And he went against it to destroy. I have noted in my own psychology that sometimes this pride comes when I see that things don't work out. And I sometimes even have seen, I must confess this to you, that when I see the simple devotion of new bhaktas or devotees to Krishna, I think, oh, I was like this when I started on my spiritual path, but now I'm wise. It's much more complicated, you know. And that one becomes full of fault finding when one sees this devotion, because ultimately, you know, pride comes from this mood that why should Krishna be in the center? My interest should be in the center. I should sit on the throne and be worshipped. This is why this lila is so important, because it touches this primordial thing. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram yakya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridang sava bhutanam gyatva mang shantim richati. If you can see that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, if you can see that Krishna is the owner of all the planets, and if you can see that he is the best of all friends, suridam sarva bhutanam. Krishna is friendly. He acts in the interest of everyone. You come to peace. There is no longer pride. But Indra said, I am the enjoyer of this yagya. Not Krishna is the bhaktaram yagya tapasam. And he thought, I am sarva loka maheshwaram. I am the ruler of all the lokas, all the planets. And he thought, I act in the interest of everyone. I get yagyas and send rain, not Krishna. This was Indra's problem. Can you see this? No? Yes? Good. Then I will continue. And he sang a song. I can imagine in the back was a heavy hardcore band like the Monsters of 2013. You know, I don't know if there's a hardcore band like this. And he's saying, this child has acted in an arrogant way towards me. Du-du-du-du. He has shown his real nature. I'm the king of 33,000 devatas. But he has ignored me. Up till now I have maintained these ahiras, but now they want to die. They have put their hands into fire. In the end, everyone finds a reason for what they want to do. But I will crush this mountain into pieces by my braj, not braj, raja. My Nanda will see this with his own eyes. He will see how his kingdom will vanish in the floods and be swept into the ocean only after I have seen him suffering like this. I will kill him. And then Indra called his ministers. He gave them pan is slightly intoxicating, and gave them garlands and sandalwood. He made them ready for war. He said to the 49 wind gods, the Maruts, carry the Samvartaka clouds to Braj. There was thunder. No one ever had heard such noise. It was the most holiest of all months. What is the holiest month? Kartik. Kartik, the month of Radha. The night became black, pitch black, as the clouds came over Braj. The sun hid away. All the Brajvasis became frightened. There was one gopi who was out in the forest and who had her little child in her hands. All of a sudden it was so dark she couldn't see anything. And she screamed, "Where is my baby, please?" Many people lost their ways in the forest and bumped into each other. And while searching for their villages, they lost themselves. They screamed, "Where is my village, please? Where is my house?" And when they reached their own houses, they couldn't recognize them. It was so frightening. And then it started to rain. Rain like pillars. Look at this pillar behind you, which is decorated in a bluish way. This is a small pillar. It was about 10 times the size. And this is how the rain came down. The cows were so frightened. They caught their calves under their bellies, but they couldn't give shelter to their calves because the water was rising. The bulls, the powerful bulls of Braj, angrily shook their heads and tried to attack the rain, but they were pressed to the ground. No, actually, who can press Krishna's bulls to the ground? That's a wrong interpretation. They were taking strength from the ground to go against it. My dear devotees, it was terrible. Everyone began to tremble from anxiety and distress brought about by the severe rainfall. At that time, they remembered something. They remembered Garga Muni, who had said, when Krishna appeared in Braj, "By the mercy of this child, all of you will cross over the ocean of difficulties. This will happen now, and it will happen in the future. Whoever takes shelter in Krishna in the severe difficulties of life will be saved." And they turned around Krishna. They arrived at Nanda Maharaj's house and they chanted this mantra, which I request you to chant. Maybe you can also think of, if there is some difficulty in your life, hopefully not now where you hear about Krishna, but maybe there's some difficulty or there is someone in difficulty, and you can turn to Krishna now and chant. The mantra which we will chant in English means, "Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the anger of Indra. O Lord." No, they chanted it a different way. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Tvanatam Gokulam Prabhu. Tratum Mahasi Devana. Kupitat Bhaktavatsala. Oh, Krishna, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us also. Please, you know, bring a little emotion to your chanting. Raise your hands if you like and then say very loudly, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga.
Svanatam Gokulam Prabho. Tratum mahasi devana, kupitat bhakta vatsala. When Krishna heard this prayer of his own people, and when he saw the distress of the cows, he looked with his blossoming lotus eyes up into the clouds and said, this must be the work of angry Indra. I have waited for him. I will break up his false pride into pieces. And I will bring him relief. And then Krishna said something so nice. He said, it does not behoove my devotees to be overwhelmed by false pride. I will cure Indra from the pain of pride in his heart. And now I will first protect my cowherd community by my transcendental potency. How nice Krishna speaks. I am their shelter. I am their master. Indeed, I consider my devotees my own family. And then Krishna remembered something. And he thought, I have taken a vow, a secret vow, that I will always protect my devotees. And what Krishna meant with this is that whenever a devotee is in difficulty and turns to him, Krishna will immediately come to his rescue. In fact, Krishna, in a way, takes care of all living entities at the time of Mahapralaya, you know, the flooding of the universe. Do you know in what form he takes care and how he takes care? He takes the living entities in his own body as Narayan and shelters them. At that time, all these living entities who are not yet pure souls, they are full of karmic desires. At that time, the jiva enters Mahavishnu, listen to this, and Mahavishnu begins to glow with the sum total of the jivas inside, and he looks like a glowing sapphire. So Krishna, in a way, takes care even of ordinary people, but he takes especially care of his devotees. Then Krishna spoke out with a voice which was like honey and which was dripping with the compassion which is in his heart. He said, there is no need to be afraid. Actually, this trouble is as insignificant as the idea of hunger is insignificant for someone who has just eaten a feast. You know, imagine, you know, I had one servant, Jai Gopal, who was always hungry. But imagine he has just finished the Sunday feast, and then he gets the idea, maybe when he rests, that I'm still hungry. This pain is not significant because he is really full at this moment. So this pain which you feel, Krishna said to the Brijbasis, it's just an imagination of pain. There's no pain. I'm with you. Anyone who practices devotional service can easily remove all anatta. For your benefit, I will now enact a very special pastime where I will destroy the mountain of Indra's pride. And all the Vrijvasis went, Jeho! Krishna didn't even spend time to tighten his cloth like he did when he attacked whom? Kaliya, yes. He just went with his loose cloth because he was in a hurry. It was really, he ran. And it's described, wherever his lotus feet touched the ground of Braj, lotus flowers sprang up. I can see Krishna running, you know. At that time, partial expansion of his yoga maya potency named Samhariki Shakti temporarily, for some time, removed all the clouds from the sky so that not even one drop of water would wetten Krishna's turban. And then, I will end here. Krishna just dug a tunnel under the Govardhan. You know, he came with this Shakti. You know, he really had this Shakti around him. Have you seen the movie Little Krishna? Have you seen whenever he gets in the mood, ping, there is a crown, and then you can imagine, normally Krishna does everything in Braj without his Shaktis, but now he calls his Shaktis. He runs. Lotus flowers come. A tunnel comes. Under Giriraj. And he comes out and lifts with his little finger Giriraj up. And as Giriraj separates from the ground, there's a sound like thunder, which shakes Indra. What was that? And what else is happening here? This loud noise which Giriraj produced was an angry noise. That crushed the prides of the elephant guarding the eight directions to pieces. The elephants just jumped into Manasi Ganga. Too loud. At that time in Patala Loka, there were some women who were drinking wine and who were laughing, you know, in the hellish planets, like maybe in Frankfurt now there are some people who still drink alcohol. It's a little, they went throughout the whole night, not doing kirtan, but alcohol kirtan they did, maybe, you know. So down in the hellish planets, these ladies who were drinking wine, ha 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 ha, and talking bad about everyone, heard this angry noise of Giriraj. What was that, Devi? It's very, very, very nicely described how the lions who lived on top of Govardhan Hill, they were lifted up like an elevator, and they came close to the clouds, and they angrily began to attack the clouds of Indra with their claws. Everyone in Braj was showing power. It was just power, you know. And in fear, the Samvartaka clouds who could see Giriraj coming up, and the lions and all, they began to get shocked. Then the Lord began to call in his sweet voice, O Mother, O Father, O residents of Braj, please come now under this hill to take full shelter. But the Brijbasis. Now you can see the nature of the Brijbasis. They said, no. Krishna, you never know your limits, you know. This is, what if it will fall, you know? Krishna said, it won't fall. Then the Brijbasis said, but it's so small, we have billions of cows. Giriraj will expand, said Krishna. Come. And finally, as the Brijbasis saw how Krishna effortlessly kept the hill and smiled at them and motioned them to come, they overcame their hesitation and all went under Giriraj. And Jiva Goswami describes that Krishna wanted to be an ideal host, guest giver. And he manifested from another of his Shakti wonderful fields of barley corns for the cows to eat and fresh crystal lakes. So the cows ran and immediately began to munch on the barley, then he, Krishna, manifested very nice palace-like cottages for the Brijbasis to go there. But no one of the Brijbasis entered the palaces, because listen to what the Brijbasis did. The Brijbasis had to be separated every day for 8 long hours from Krishna. But now they saw a chance. They couldn't go anywhere to just stay around Krishna and look at the beauty of his limbs, at the beauty of his smile, at the beauty of his curly locks of hair, and more than anything, to bathe in the compassionate glance of Krishna, which he gave every one of his devotees. Because Govardhan Hill was touched by the hands of Krishna, it acquired inconceivable power. Flowers fell from the trees on Govardhan and made a carpet everywhere. And Giriraj felt the lightning bolts, which were severe enough to crack Mount Everest into little teapots. Giriraj felt those lightning bolts to be as soft as an offering of flowers. Here I want to stop, my dear devotees, by telling you, when you are touched by Krishna in your heart, even the greatest difficulties which you undergo become perceived by you as soft flowers. But if Krishna is not in your heart, even the smallest difficulties, even the smallest pain, even the smallest insult or the smallest offense against you becomes intolerable. It's just by a little touch of Krishna. Giriraj was touched only by the hand, not even by the little finger, just by the top of the nail, this portion of Krishna's hand. He was so blissful that all these troubles, which were just not there, and he properly smiled like this Giriraj, who's totally intoxicated and whom you can visit. He's extremely blissful in his little wooden box from Persia. Krishna just smiled. He was so blissful. He said to the Brijbasis, "Don't be afraid. I have made all arrangements. Don't think he will fall from my little hand. He won't fall. Don't be afraid." What were these arrangements? Well, Krishna had called Anantashesha, who made a protective snake wall around the area. And the water which fell and cascaded down from the Giriraj could not go in. Additionally, he called his Sudarshan Chakra, who made the proper arrangements to evaporate, verdunsten, the water, so that there was no problem. So we will leave the Brijbasis and Krishna here. We will continue at the next opportunity. I think during the Sunday program, I will talk more about this, just briefly, because I really want to discuss about the conversations which went on under Giriraj. All the Brijbasis spoke to each other, and Krishna spoke to them, and Krishna did extraordinary things while he lifted the hill. But that's the subject of another talk. For now, I just want you all to reflect for a moment on this subject. A little touch of Krishna in our lives will make us immune from torrents heißt Regengüsse, torrents of miseries and difficulties which come our way. During the Sangha Mela, we want to get in touch with Krishna. I heard yesterday devotees chanted up till 12 o'clock with Ojashvi. Is it, Nimai? Yes. And it was very, very ecstatic. But please keep the good mood up. Keep Gaurahari's inspiration alive. Gaurahari suggested yesterday, very nice, that let's stay in the bath, in the mood of Krishna consciousness by talking to each other about spirit things. So let's do this, because we expect many, many more guests during the, it's, we call it in Germany, Silvester night, the night which is for many people the night of sin, and for us the night of Kirtan. You know, when we go into the new year, protected by the boat of Harinam. So let us build up an atmosphere. Yesterday the Radha Desh devotees came, and one said, "My God, this room was glowing when we approached. It was glowing. We had to see how can we enter this totally spiritual atmosphere with our college mind." You know, they were discussing very intellectually how to do this. You know, so let's boil the atmosphere a little bit more. And think about this touch of Krishna in your life. The touch of God needs to be there. Otherwise, life is dark. Hare Krishna. Radhe. So, is there a question before I end? God, everything is clear. Touch of God is our motto today, the touch of God. No question? Sometimes nice to have questions for interaction. Gaurahari has always questions. Yes, Gaurahari. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Any succession, you know, a connection. The origin of pride is the desire for fame, the pratishta. That's the origin of pride, and also the. But I have not heard about the false ego is the first covering of the soul, and when a person who has somehow a lot of this covering of the ego comes first, and then the pride comes from it. You know, if you want to have a succession, so the ego becomes increased. Obviously, the pride that we all know becomes bigger. You know, when you are proud, and I believe every one of us is proud to some extent, because that's the first covering of the soul as long as we are here. You can do something with this pride, according to Narottam Das Thakur, something which will purify it. You have to bring it in some contact with Krishna. Krishna is like the sun who can also purify a dirty place, you know. So we have pride, and we need to just import Krishna in our thought system. And as soon as Krishna enters, it's like the sun who comes and who dries up an impure place. So if you have to be pride on something, then be proud Krishna, but you have to be careful that it doesn't turn into this sectarian pride. We are better than everyone else. That is that we can see in devotees of different institutions. They think our way is the only way. And, you know, that is a very unfortunate thought, as if Krishna cannot appear everywhere else. You know, but. What does Narottam Das Thakur sing? Pride, I will engage. Help me, please help me, someone. I will tell you when I have my songbook. Then I can look. What is it in the songbook? No, it's not in the songbook. I will sit down and I will remember. I will just take my breakfast, and then my memory will come. But there's only one thing you can't engage, I remember, that's envy. But pride, Bhagavad Dharma, you know everything, always. Who is our pandit here who can look this up? I know someone. It's in the Prem Bhakti Chandrika. There we can find this. What to do with pride. Good. It's also something like, you know, pride you can put against your weakness. You know, that is what Bhujang Prabhu told me, a very nice point. He said, sometimes when he feels the different voices, pride, the proudful voice, the humble voice, this voice, he asked all the voices to come down around a table in his heart. You know, the adventurer, the fearful person, the pride person, all these different personalities in us, and he asked them to speak up. What's your point? What's your point? What's your point? And then he hears them out. Usually when we are proud in devotional service, we are sometimes insecure, and we hear it and we deal with our pride. Like Indra has a severe insecurity problem. He thought, you know, there's someone else next to me. He's, you know, that Krishna. So, your pride will go, my dear devotees. if you again and again meditate about the question, who is doing everything? And then you will find out after some time it's Krishna and not you. Think of yourself as a pen. A pen never writes a book. It's always the person behind the pen. Or think yourself as a pujari. When the pujari comes out blowing in his conch shell, he should not think, all these people have come to look at me and hear my conch shell blowing. It's illusory. He should think of the person behind him. That's the person on the altar, Krishna. He's only serving that Krishna. Can you imagine a pujari coming out, you know, very nice dress, putting a very, very, very powerful blow into the conch shell, and looking around, how was that? you would just take a few snowballs and throw it in this arrogant guy's face, no? Huh? Wouldn't we do that? We are not here because of you, fool. We are here because of Radha Madan Mohan. No? You know, we would say this, you know. So when you are proud, you are like that foolish pujari who is only doing something for in the service of Krishna. He's only there because there is Krishna. People have come only because to see Krishna, not to see him and his new dhoti or his new sari, you know, or not his, her new sari, you know. Always remember the person behind, the person who gave you your position, that is Krishna, and you will not be proud. Hare Krishna. Okay, Mandaleshwari, I'm a little afraid because of the time. Let me look. It's 9:20. I'm 20 minutes over time. This is a scandal. With your permit, keep the question and you will be the next person. So I want to thank you very much for participating. Tomorrow, on the Sunday program, we will hear for brief, it will be short, but it will be important, the conversations of the of this Krishna, which Krishna had with the Brijvasis. He was not silent as he was lifting it, you know, like a Russian weight lifter. Who's certainly not talking about anything when he's suffering under the weight, you know. Krishna was very, very, very talkative. He talked and he played, you know. We will hear this. And then in the afternoon, this will be brief, but in the afternoon, the main part is I want to show you. Thank you. Here's a pandit there. I want to show you pictures from Vrindavan. We have wonderful pictures of Giriraj Govardhan from different positions so that you will be able to enjoy the katha even more. We will do this. So what to do with proud? I will feel proud to chant the glories of Krishna. You know, if you have